of Mouth Wednesday. What up? This is Daniel Libby here, and we've got a revolutionary show tonight because first up, we'll be speaking with a representative of the Beautiful City Campaign. It's a campaign to place a fee on billboards to fund art in the public sphere. Devin Ostrom will talk with us here in the studio, and we've got an audio clip from the KRS-One lecture that took place at Ryerson in June, so tune in for some knowledge later on, and then the Word of Mouth Wednesday co-host Robin Yenzo has an interview for us tonight with Raul Burbano, a video documentarian from the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network, about his recent experience recording the revolution in South and Central America. And this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more content right after this, 7 to 8 p.m. This is October 28, 2008. All right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. And we've got a guest in the studio today who's an artist, curator, and co-founder of Them.ca Artist Collective, and he's also the coordinator of the Beautiful City Billboard Fee Campaign. And I'd like to welcome to the show and to the studio today, Devin Ostrom.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here today. And I just wanted to start off with asking you about this Beautiful City Billboard Fee. What is it?
So basically, it's an alliance of about 50 organizations now from across Toronto that have gotten together and are looking to put a tax on billboards and have the money go towards art in the public sphere. So that's festivals, that's sculptures, that's accessible youth programming, all that sort of stuff. The idea basically is to diversify access to public spaces. And one of the interesting things is billboards are one of the only forms of advertising where people don't get something back in exchange for their attention. Like if you read a magazine, you get, say, maybe sometimes 50% ads. You get 50% content back. With like television, you get 45 minutes content, 50 minutes of ads. Billboards, since people don't have a choice of whether or not to view the messages, that relationship with the public doesn't exist. So what we're hoping to do is bring that into the picture.
Right, and what's your involvement with the billboard fee campaign?
I was one of the first people to think of it. Yes. Nice. Back in 2002, and now it's actually just being voted on next week by Planning and Growth Committee at City Hall.
Wow, and yeah, and I saw that there is, I've seen posted online, you can see on the beautifulcity.ca, and then you can check for the information on this online, and I found that there's a final draft of the city's new signed bylaw,
yeah,
billboard fee, that's been posted, and it's been released, and then, so it's next Wednesday, November the 4th, it's going to go to a committee?
Yeah, it's going to go to a committee called Planning and Growth, and it's going to be at 1:30, so everyone should show up City Hall Committee Room 1 at 1:30 if they want to show their support for this idea. Basically, it's going to be voted on by a group of councillors that handle specific parts of Planning and Growth for Toronto, and then from that vote, it'll go to the full body of councillors to be voted on November 30th, December 1st. And this is real this time. We've had like a couple false starts where it's been like almost about to be voted on, and it gets yanked back the last second. But now that the staff report has been released, it really like it has to be voted on next week.
Nice. Yeah. So this big thing is going on. And what if people are just still wondering what this new signed bylaw would be? What are the conditions? What is this?
I'm still reading the report, but basically it's been sort of a Wild West situation in Toronto for a while. Like it's been estimated somewhere between 20-40% of signs in Toronto are legal or non-conforming or don't have the proper permit to be there. So part of it's going to deal with that. Part of it's going to deal with harmonizing the sign bylaw for the city of Toronto, because it hasn't been done since the amalgamation, and it was supposed to be done a lot sooner. Part of it is going to be making sure that signs fit the character and aesthetic of the neighborhoods that they're located in. A good part of it is enforcement. Usually these kinds of things, like they kind of get produced by staff, but unless there's that enforcement element with, say, fines for non-conforming, and the actual staff to go out there and not only count the signs but impose the fines, then it's just a useless piece of paper, right? So that's something that's really important and really great about this. Because of the tax component, not only are we going to be able to fund a whole bunch more art in Toronto, we're also going to have that staff and that infrastructure set up to actually sort of clean up the industry a little bit.
Nice. And I guess this when you start researching this beautiful city and this whole billboard issue, it does get a bit complicated. I noticed I was reading a bit of that report, and I came across some different classifications of signs. We got ground signs, vinyl signs, wall mural signs, illuminated signs, Patterson pillars, tri-vision roof signs, billboards containing video, overhanging structure signs, projection signs. And I guess like I read all these different types of signs, and I was wondering, you know, are there any signs that aren't going to be covered by
them? Well, the tax is only going to go towards third-party signs. That's basically like a sign that is set up for the express purpose of communicating a message that isn't related to that property. Say, not like someone's sign they put in front of their shop, but say sign that's like a billboard that's on top of a shop that says, right, like, buy Coke or go to McDonald's or whatever. So it's going to be that kind of signs. But there also is, within this, there will be some of the regulation of first-party signs as well. But that's the lesser part of the bylaw, and the tax isn't applied to that.
All right. And
it's only basically I usually use the word billboards as kind of a catch-all to cover those things like the roof signs, the big blockbuster vinyl wraps, the giant murals, that whole body of third-party signs.
Okay, and I also think I read on the site, or one of the sites, that a yearly billboard tax in Toronto would be the only one of its kind in the world.
Yeah, there hasn't been something. There's been billboard tax before, but nothing where it's devoted to arts. Nothing that has that kind of that idea of mitigating some of the damage they cause to the city.
Wow, so these are really revolutionary ideas. And the Beautiful City Alliance, I saw that there's a list of organizations supporting the Beautiful City. What kind of support are you?
It's crazy. We've got support for everyone from the AGO to Social Planning Toronto to Carfac Ontario to Manifesto Festival. They've been a key player in this. To Regent Park Focus, to Toronto Arts Council Foundation. There's about 50 organizations now. Everything from really large established organizations to organizations concerned with poverty to organizations concerned with the environment. It's pretty much across the board and across the city.
Wow, yeah, and that's great that you mentioned Regent Park Focus, because I know they're hosting the Word of Mouth Tuesday.
Really?
That's
great. I love those guys.
And I also noticed, you had the Ryerson Students Union, which is the building we're in right now at CKLN.
Yeah.
So Ryerson Students Union supporting. And one of the other sites that I noticed supporting, which is really got a lot of information on this, was called illegalsigns.ca.
Yep. I just came out of a meeting with Rami, actually. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And seems like that site's got is full of information on the billboard issue. And,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Right. So they're charting everything. If you're looking for more info on what's going on in terms of billboards in Toronto, check out illegalsigns.ca. And I also noticed are you getting some support from different politicians? Actually, I came across one. I just wanted to play a quick audio clip here, because I came across on the beautifulcity.ca website, you can find some videos from a town hall meeting. And I came across just this one quick clip here I'm going to play of the city councilor, Adam Vaughn, and his take on this.
Vote, and when the meetings happen, jam the committee rooms and demand to speak. Make your voice heard. You make your voice heard, you'll get your way in the city.
And that was Adam Vaughn, who, of course, was the first ever station manager here at CKLN.
You serious? I didn't know that. Yeah.
And he's currently a city councilor. And then I also noticed that there was a clip of Janet Davis on the on the site, and so you're getting some support from.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a core and the interesting thing is not only councillors from the traditional left that are supporting, it's also councillors in the middle and even in the right side of things. It's one of the things about this tax is because concerns the whole city, because of the benefits it'll create. We've actually had support from pretty wide across the spectrum, and it's been kind of amazing in that way. Like, usually people kind of split into different camps, but there's definitely a core of really strong supporters, like Joe Mahevic and Janet Davis and Adam Vaughn and Adam Jim Brown and Penelone and those guys. But then there's also a lot of other people that have thrown in their hat too.
Nice. And so I guess this is going to be a meeting next Wednesday. This when it goes to the committee meeting, then it's going on to the vote, or
they'll be actually voting on it there, right. And they'll look at the draft bylaws that's been prepared, mm-hmm. which you can look at the City of Toronto site,
right.
And they'll some people will try to put revisions in, some people will try to take things out, some people will try to they'll trying to figure out how they're going to form it. And then from there, once they've all gone through that process of taking in, putting things out, all that sort of stuff, then it'll go to the full council.
Right, and what we have going on here is this beautiful city billboard fee, and I've been thinking about what you're going up against, and it seems like we've got these multi-million-dollar advertising companies, you know, like CBS Outdoor, Pattison Outdoor, Astral Media Outdoor. These are companies that are advertising for like billion-dollar.
Oh yeah, they're
clients.
Huge. They're huge, huge.
So that's why I got to give you respect for taking on the corporations in this way. But are you receiving the respect from the activist community? Community and
sometimes depends on which there's a wide range of different opinions, but as for a whole, we've gotten a lot of respect. Yeah.
Right.
I think generally people are quite supportive. People really like the idea. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time in the making, and there's been a lot of people that have put a lot of work into making it happen.
Right, yeah, great, yeah, and it's always great to talk about activism on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We talk to a lot of activists on the show,
yeah.
But one of the topics we get into, and I know you mentioned about the enforcement and the idea of having bylaw officers, mm-hmm. but sometimes we talk about on the show like the way that we're seeing society moving to a police state. Do you have any skepticism about the officers being created and given these new powers?
I think they're sort of a necessary thing. I think that it's not only the bylaw officers, but it's also the staff. I think if we can see, basically what we're seeing is white collar crime. So this is not, it's in that sense, it's definitely not a step towards a police state.
Right, and yeah. So you're not expecting a big crackdown on just people with signs and.
No. I think that this is totally separate. This is only dealing with billboards and like large companies and that sort of stuff.
Right.
We're not going after like people. There wouldn't be a tax say on people holding up protest signs or something.
Right.
But maybe next. I don't know. No. I would. That's the idea. The basic idea of it is diversify access to expression in public spaces. Right.
Right.
We want to see more. Right now, there's definitely in public spaces. There's definitely a dominance, and there's definitely a. It's not a systematic, but it's a systemic sort of censorship as far as who has the agency and who has the resources mm-hmm. to communicate in public spaces. So we're hoping to address that by enabling not only artists, but youth and different communities to be able to articulate messages in those in their communities and make communities that are more reflective of where they live.
Great. And I guess of these communities of let's say it all goes as planned and your this beautiful city goes through, the billboard fee gets passed, and then for a person living in a community in Toronto, what could they expect from?
In our ideal situation, we're looking at about 50% increase to art spending in Toronto.
Nice.
We're looking at about and then on top of that, about $100,000 for each Toronto award.
Nice.
for like streetscape improvement and beautification, and then about $300,000 for each of the prior neighborhoods every year for youth arts programming.
Nice. Yeah, so there's a big money involved in this. We got the billboards going on, and we're getting the word out. This is a word-of-mouth show, and I noticed on thebeautifulcity.ca there's the petition online. You got over 2,000 signatures.
Yeah.
How can people support this?
Definitely go to beautifulcity.ca and sign up. It's really quick, really easy on the petition. It's just on the homepage there. And then also come to City Hall, Committee Room 1, 1:30 p.m., on November 4th.
Nice, yeah. So, yeah, that'll be next Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. It's going down at City Hall. And I noticed on the website that I think it was earlier in the summer, there had been a meeting at the City Hall as well.
Yeah, we had a giant town hall in council chambers. About 300 people showed up.
Nice.
We had a bunch of different speakers. It was basically like sort of a rally. There was artists there. We tried to infuse the space with artists working.
Nice.
So that we had different artists doing poetry and doing beatboxing and doing live painting. And then we also had different speakers that not only talked about the initiative, but also passed on some of the tools that we've developed as a way of sort of making sure that even if this initiative falls flat on its face, we can at least pass on some of the knowledge and some of the things we've learned over the past 7 years.
Right, right. And yeah, and you can watch a quick video clip on Vimeo, and you can find the link on the beautifulcity.ca site. That's where we played that audio clip from Adam Vaughn earlier. And I just wanted to ask you, just to wrap up, since you got a bit into the artwork aspect of things, and I know that you're working in arts and as a curator, what have you been working on these days?
I'm kind of in postpartum from Manifesto Festival,
right.
We just did this massive 3-floor art exhibition that closed on Nuit Blanche. We had a Rhodesworth came and he did a giant installation. You can see him at 52 McCall Street, and there's also a giant mural by an artist named Nunca from Sao Paulo on the building as well.
Yeah,
it's still there.
You should check it out.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Is the gallery still open, or is it just
gallery is closed? It's just the two installations we left. Right now, we're still kind of cleaning up the gallery and repainting, and
nice.
It was a pretty wild show.
Yeah, that was a cool one. And I guess just to wrap things up here, we got the beautifulcity.ca and the Beautiful City Billboard Fee going on. I guess is there any last recommendations you can think of for?
Just come out and show your support. It's going to be wild. There's going to be experts. There's going to be some angry industry people probably with red faces and eating their hats. And it'll be a good show. You should come.
Yeah. And we'll try to get some updates for the show next week and in the weeks to come of what's going on with this Beautiful City Billboard Fee. And I just wanted to thank Devin Ostrom for coming down to the studio today.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's been good.
All right, great. Yeah, thanks. And we're just going to throw it to a musical break here. This one is by KRS-One and his graduated apprentice, Beast 1333, and it's called All City Kings. Please stay tuned to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is CKLN 88.1 FM, Word of Mouth.
Put my name up. Get my graph on. KRS, I tag it up. Up flow so slow and low, you'll grab a cup. Original flow with the show, we acting up. In the front, in the back, they like buck buck. Conscious lyrics, yeah, we coming up. What? Scholars getting dollars, so holler, that's what's up. Up in the way today, can you cut? Can you scratch? Can you break? Can you grab? Yo, what's up? You're claiming hip hop or hipster or what? Do you live this or just go to the clubs to live it up? I'm still really a baby at lyrics, I spit them up. Yet my peers got tears for fears, they give it up, they shrivel up, but yo, that really sucks. So who's really killing hip-hop? We passing the buck. Listen to the boom and the bap in your speaker. That's why I'm calling teacher. Get it up.
All city kings grappin' back to back. When they tips fat skinny, yeah, they rollin' with cats. Spraying icy gray jungle green bomb in the mat. If you're not a real writer, then your piece gets slashed. Put my name on. I want a little fame. Put my name up. I stay buffing out the lane. Put my name up. I want to see it in the heaven spot. As long as there is hip-hop, you know that graph will never
stop. I got my backpack, my fat caps, my spray cans go clack, clack. We bomb and go tag that. My throw-ups be mad fat.
I'm a beast.
In the street, I'm eyeing rooftops. I'm running out of German caps. I gotta find a new spot. I scratch, scrawl, paint, mark. You can catch me in an alley piecing up way after dawn. Check my black book. Look, I'ma tell you how I feel. It really ain't for everybody. It's all about your skill. I'm for real. That's worth the cornbread and cool Earl. Graffiti as an art form is taking over the world. The writing's on the wall. Can you read between the lines? Cause it's all about your flavor coming out with new designs. There's a science to the element of aerosol art. And by the way, the MTA try to tear shit apart. We do this from the heart, cause the paint's in our brain. I knew it from the start, tagging up for the fame.
All city kings grappin' back to back. When they tips fat skinnies, yeah, they rollin' with caps. Spraying icy gray jungle green bombing the map. If you're not a real writer, then your piece gets slashed. Put my name on. I want a little fame. Put my name on. I stay buffin' out the lane. Put my name on. I wanna see it in the heaven spot. As long as there is hip hop, you know that graph will never stop.
Yeah, this one goes out to all the excellent graph writers across the globe. Scheme, Phase 2, K-161, Barbara and Eve, Lady Pink, Stay High 149, Case 2, Lee, Chico, Cope 2, Tats Crew, Pre-Suite, Is the Wiz, Scene, Quick, OE,
KRS-One.
All city kings grappin' back to back. When they tips fat skinnies, yeah, they rollin' with caps. Spraying icy gray jungle green bomb in the map. If you're not a real writer, then your piece gets slashed. Put my name on. I want a little fame. Put my name up. I stay buffing out the lane. Put my name up. I want to see it in the heaven spot. As long as there is hip-hop, you know that graph will never stop.
Blastmaster KRS-One. 1, and the Beast 1333. The Beast 1333 is KRS-One's graduated apprentice, who you heard in that track, and he's got his album, I think, is coming out this Saturday, and Halloween they're going to release on iTunes. Look out for the Beast. And KRS-One is a leader in the act and an activist in the Stop the Violence movement. The Stop the Violence movement has been going on for, you know, over 20 years, and they relaunched the Stop the Violence movement in Toronto during a week in June of 2009. This occurred a few months ago. What I'm going to play for you is an audio clip from a lecture at Ryerson University right here on campus, where CKLN is located at Ryerson University. These are some highlights of KRS-One talking about real hip-hop, truth, knowledge, and economics. And, well, this is the teacher of the Temple of Hip-Hop. Stay tuned. Here's some words from KRS-One.
People can have their opinions of hip-hop. We allow all of that. But what you're getting today is the original hip-hop. The original intent of hip-hop was to become a behavior that freed you from the traps of the inner city. I'll say it again. The original intent of hip-hop was to adopt a behavior that freed you from the traps of the inner city. I'm in a university setting, but I'm speaking about the hood right now. Life in the streets, avoiding the traps, and how hip-hop did that. We were violent, violence was all in the hood. But we made our artistic elements the actual methodology for working out conflict. Now, this was our first trial. We realized it was an intelligent movement, and we realized that we can cause peace within our community by competing with each other over art. As we began to compete with one another, we became valuable. Now stop here. This is where capitalism comes in, and the rules of competition and business. This is how hip-hop's wealth was created. It's the early days. I'm already affiliated with Zulu Nation. I'm already in the hood, deep in the Bronx. So I don't gravitate toward Marley Marl and MC Shan, because when you're trying to get a record done, you either go to Def Jam, Russell Simmons, or you go to Mr. Magic and the Juice Group. That was the only two outlets. That was it. Uptown was just getting started with Andre Harrell. That's when Puffy was a promoter, or P. Diddy was a promoter back then. This is the early, early days. To get money, real cash money, you're going to have to battle. Take it to revolution. I say it often, people don't hear me. Revolution only works if you're participating. You see, most of the people running the world today, they were the 60s revolutionaries. Everybody else sitting around watching them, calling all of these long hairs and all this hippie movement or this free love movement, you're taking too much drugs. They running your country now. They running your country now. You gotta ask yourself, who am I in this revolution, in this change, in this evolution? Who am I? Am I just gonna sit on the sideline, or am I going to express myself? And if you're, and both are good, by the way, if you're a quiet type that just sits on the sideline, then deal with that. There's another science that deals with that. But I'm not speaking to that. I'm speaking to college students that got real challenges with, you know, when you get to your graduation and they hand you your receipt, I mean your degree. I'll say this and end it here. Of course, you know there's more to discuss. You have to be a special type of person to even want peace. The world doesn't want peace. Therefore, if you're the type of person that wants peace, link up with other people who want peace. Because revolution only works for those that participate. Everybody's not going to participate, so you should not be deprived of your peace. me, others here, I want peace, personally, as a grown-ass man. I want peace. If you are like that, if that's you, then not only are you a true citizen of real hip-hop, but you're a true citizen of the world itself. And that's what your university should be trying to produce. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, word of mouth Wednesday. Those are some words from the Blastmaster KRS-One. He's a teacher. He's a philosopher. He is a scholar in hip-hop. And we wanted to mention that that was a clip from the Stop the Violence movement that launched in the week in June 2009. And that was a clip from a lecture that took place right here at Ryerson University. We're broadcasting on CKLN 88.1 FM. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're in week four of a restart, relaunch, reset here at the station, and there's an AGM, Annual General Meeting, is currently going on. I'm going to check that out after we finish up on air here, but we got lots more coming up later in the show. We're going to have a feature interview by Robin Yento, who's going to be speaking with Raul Burbano. Raul Burbano is the documentary filmmaker, and we are just going to throw it to a musical break because this is it. That is right. This is a track called Legacy by Ian Kamau and Danny O, out of respect and, of course, dedicated to the late, great Michael Jackson.
This is it.
While I'm here, let me shine my light to the story of the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on my legacy.
Yo, just finished watching Michael Jackson's memorial. Unimaginably impactful and historical. Heaven's oracle taught that the world can be horrible, but he implored you to find the divine from the deplorable. How did you make an aberration adorable? How did you steer off infection when killer bees were swarming you? How do I ensure the impossible is affordable? How do I make a change cause my voice is recordable? Mike, I thought of you when I was writing this verse to fight off the curse, the opposite of which you'd find worse. As you ride in that hearse, my eye convey what pride I have burst. It finally works. I realize I shine on this earth. While you were a strong stomper, I was just a meat creeper. But MLK said be proud if you a street sweeper. And Al Sharpton ruffled and woke up the deep sleepers and told your kids it's strange the world for the peacekeeper. You know what I find strange? I find it strange that you're gone. You know what I find wrong? To write your name in the song. In the past tense, it's strange I'm remaining this strong. Cause since I was born, the top is where your reign is belong. I cried today, but Michael Jackson, I'm alive to say with platinum and diamonds, you've paved and aligned the way for me to see my futures filled with many brighter days. And I'm here to leave a legacy behind to stay.
While I'm here, let me shine my light to discover all the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on my legacy.
Yeah.
This is it.
I am basking in the light of a single star, skin blacker than the night. Walking on the moon, one small step, I'll be leaping soon. We all get confused, I'm forever a child, and it's true. I'm a lost boy too, but not as lost as you in dreams. I realize realities, living on a earth, what a fallacy move. Galaxies made like molecules built, and who's that peeking in my windowsill? There's a light in the night that we can't see, and darkness feels a lot like me. I'm so free, midnight marauder with a hood overhead, trying to escape words I should not have said. I hope they don't notice, I keep the world in focus, breathe.
While I'm here, let me shine my light to discover all the love inside. As long as I'm blessed to speak, I'll be working on my legacy. Cause I don't wanna live my life and leave nothing left behind. So while the Lord lets me breathe, I'm working on my legacy.
Yeah.
And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Yes. Yeah. And we still moonwalking.
And volunteers for their patience as we return to full programming after a period of disruption. We appreciate your understanding. the board of directors wish only to move forward in achieving the common goal of great campus community radio in compliance with CRTC regulations. We appreciate the public's interest in our station, and we welcome any constructive commentary or suggestions at improving our radio at ckln.fm. Please refer to the station mandate available at www.ckln.fm for our guiding principles in moving forward, or drop by the station to see a copy. Again, we thank you for your patience and understanding as we move forward. Stay tuned to 88.1 FM for more great CKLN programming.
Let's get back to the program. 88.1.
Word up, word of mouth, Wednesday. It is 7:33 p.m. and we're just going to throw it to our next segment. And this is coming in from the producer, Robin Nieto, who interviewed Raul Burbano, and they're going to be talking about something that's going to be taking place on Friday, November the 13th, and that is the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network hosting a celebration to mark Bolivia's presidential elections and Indigenous autonomy. And to talk to us about the event and his experience in Bolivia and Honduras is Raul Burbano. He's been documenting the political process in Bolivia and Latin America and will be heading to South America to document the upcoming elections in Bolivia. And without further ado, here is that interview produced by Robin Nieto.
On Friday, November 13th, the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network will be hosting a celebration to mark Bolivia's presidential elections and Indigenous autonomy. To talk to us about the event and his experience in Bolivia and Latin America is Raul Burbano. He is documenting the political process in Bolivia and Latin America and will be heading to South America to document the upcoming elections. Raul, you've been filming in Bolivia and Honduras. Tell us what you've been seeing on the ground.
Well, I just recently returned from Honduras with a delegation from the Latin American Solidarity Network, where we spent close to 10 days working and filming with the Frente de la Resistencia contra el Golpe, which is the group just made up of social movements which are struggling against the coup d'etat for the return of the President Manuel Zelaya in Honduras.
So what is we've been seeing some reports, not many, about what's going on in Honduras and Bolivia, even less. So what is actually happening on the ground? What are people saying, and what are they feeling, and what kind of what have you been observing in terms of the political process there?
Sure. So first, in terms of the North American media, the way the North American media has spun the struggle is that really it's a struggle between the executive branch and the judicial branch. So Manuel Zelaya was trying to reform the Constitution so he can stay in power for his whole life type thing, which is absolutely incorrect. When we were in Honduras and we met with all the social movements, which are comprised of, you know, the unions, the campesinos, the indigenous people, the Afro, the Garifuna people, students, middle-class folks, teachers are at the forefront of the struggle. They all made something very clear to us, which is obviously they want the return of the President Manuel Zelaya, who was democratically elected. But more importantly, this was one of the interviews we had with Berta Cáceres, who is the leader of one of the indigenous movements, Copin. She said the goal has been historical for us, which is a struggle to refound the nation, Honduras being, to bring forth a constitutional assembly which is democratic, which is popular and open to all, so they can refound the nation to a more just society where, you know, the wealth and the political power is redistributed to the majority, not just to a select elite few.
So here we had like a bit of news about the, you know, what happened in terms of his removal, but it was more, like you said, it was more of a judicial presentation rather than the fact that an actual coup had occurred. But since then, the news has subsided quite a bit. It seems, in terms of the lack of reports here, that things are somewhat back to normal there.
Oh, absolutely not. So, absolutely not. What's important to understand is that this is a military coup d'etat. So it was the military who took power. They have put in power a, you know, Roberto Micheletti, which is not a military person. So really they're trying to hide behind a facade of a constitutional leader, but it's really a military de facto government that has taken power, and that was clearly stated even by the one of the head, which was the colonel of the Honduran military, who did a casual interview just a couple of days after the coup d'etat, where he said to the Miami Herald, the military really decided to take Manuel Zelaya out of power, specifically because they didn't like the trajectory with being that he was going to redistribute the wealth to the majority of the people. He was looking at, he had raised the minimum wage, he had put a moratorium on concessions, and of course calling for a popular national assembly for people to look at, remaking the constitution, which was created by the oligarchy in 1982.
So, I did find out that, the president had gone back into the country after being removed. The U.S. said his entry back into Honduras was irresponsible on his part. What has, his entrance back into Honduras, what has it caused?
So I think, first of all, it's galvanized the people of Honduras, because the majority of Hondurans support the return of Manuel Zelaya and are completely against the military dictatorship of Micheletti. It's important to keep in mind the Micheletti government has closed down all forms of media, any opposition, Radio Global. They've closed them all down. They've incarcerated people. They've assassinated people. They were actually using the stadium to detain all the people. So we see semblance of, the Allende massacres that are taking place. So it's a very victorized military situation right now. With the return of Manuel Zelaya into the Brazilian embassy, it has galvanized the resistance movement. So we have seen negotiations are currently taking place. I think today they actually just broke off, but the negotiations were taking place in terms of trying to have Manuel Zelaya return to power. But the military dictatorship of Micheletti has basically in the end just, said it, we're not going to return. That's really the bottom line.
So just to talk a bit more about the political situation, but then I want to head into what's happening in terms of the pressures on the country and how it's affecting just everyday folks. For instance, children in schools, hospitals, all the different types of essential services. But now heading into the election, it's coming up in November. It was already planned for November. Is it going to be a free election? Are there going to be international observers? If the population you said is galvanized to support Zelaya, how free do you think these elections are going to be?
So elections, first of all, cannot take place unless there is the return of the president, Manuel Zelaya. The military dictatorship of Micheletti is using these elections. They're trying to justify and, in a sense, bless the military coup d'etat by having these elections. But the Frente de la Resistencia has clearly stated, and all the social movements and independent candidates and even liberal candidates who aren't supporting the military dictatorship have all said they will not participate in elections if Manuel Zelaya is not returned to power. So they basically will be null and void elections.
So how is the situation affecting the services for people in terms of education, food, healthcare, all that sort of thing?
So as you can imagine, it's been a real struggle for the people of Honduras. I mean, for the last, it's been 119 days, I believe it's 120 days today, where every day you see marches of between, 1,000 and 10,000 people on the street, people supporting and demanding the reinstitution of the president, Manuel Zelaya. Obviously, schools have been disrupted. Economically, the country is suffering immensely. So this is something where we have a country where people are already suffering economically and now are having difficulties finding products in the stores. While we were there, there was times where people weren't going to school. So it's becoming a very difficult situation for your average folks.
So I want to head into talking about Bolivia now, if you could, and just talk about, because you're going to be heading down to record the Bolivian elections. From what I see, the message from the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network is that there's presidential elections and an indigenous autonomy. Can you tell us something about this combination of the two?
Sure. So obviously there's a presidential and vice president election taking place on December 6th, but also in the new constitution, which was passed on January of this year, there was an important component that was going to allow indigenous communities, a group of them, to basically vote for autonomy. So basically what it would look like in their communities in terms of education, how they would control natural resources, form of community justice, basically being able to control politically, culturally, socially, their communities within the framework of the plurinational state of Bolivia.
How does that concept, how does this idea, combine with the fact that the president of Bolivia is indigenous himself? Is this vote for autonomy something that is being worked out harmoniously with the current government?
Well, it's been worked out harmoniously with the current government, but there is an immense, a strong economic elite opposition from the eastern lowlands, primarily from Santa Cruz, Pando, Tarija, of wealthy land-owning elites who have been completely opposed to this whole process because their goal is basically to maintain power. Evo Morales and the social movements, because it's not so much about Evo Morales, it's about the social movements, again, the indigenous, the campesinos, who have taken power and now are basically implementing that power. So it's a power struggle between the elites who have traditionally managed and controlled the wealth politically, economically, and they do tend to be much more European-based or Creole-based as opposed to the majority of the people of Bolivia who are Aymara, Quechua, Guarani, who make up 62% of the population.
This idea that the organization of Bolivian people sort of differentiating from the president Evo Morales, it's something interesting because when countries here are portrayed, they're portrayed through their presidents and through the ruling party. But you're saying that the situation in Bolivia is more of a situation of organized populations?
A participatory democracy is sort of the term that's been used for it. So the social movement, so I'll give you an example, the cocaleros, which Evo Morales was one, the people who were picking the coca leaves in order to make products, whether it's tea, and to sell them, have become a social movement. They've become a force, and there's different types of social movements in Bolivia and in all parts of Central and Latin America who have become now protagonists in the direction in which their country is moving forward. So we see that in Latin America, what's happened is that people are no longer looking at the traditional institutions, i.e., the political parties, the religious institutions. They have realized that these institutions have not provided them with any result, positive economically, politically, and culturally. So they have decided to take power into their own hands, starting from municipal level, departmental level, and then obviously to the national level.
So it sounds like a revolution.
Absolutely. It's one of the most beautiful revolutions that we're seeing. And it's a tide, basically, that's sweeping the continent of Latin America, because it's not just in Bolivia. We see it in Venezuela. We see it in Ecuador. And we saw that process taking place in Nicaragua, and that's exactly what the elites in Honduras, and that's exactly what the elites of Honduras are trying to stop. It's that tide of progressive social movements who are taking power via the ballot. So historically, in Central and Latin America, the struggles were between guerrilla or armed movement. Today, and for the last 10, 15 years, we've seen a shift to taking power via a democratic means, via the ballot.
Okay, Raul, so for people who want to find out more and attend the event on November 13th, can you just give us a bit of a description of what they can expect on Friday, November 13th?
Absolutely. So it's called Bolivia Indigenous People Take the Lead. We have a special guest who will be speaking, Bob Lovelace, who's a retired chief of the Algonquin First Nations. We'll have DJ No Capitalista. So planning on having some music, poetry, dance, some Bolivian food. It's really, sort of two things. We want to have a celebration of what's taking place in Latin America. Latin America in terms of how the indigenous people are taking power, but also correlated to the struggles of the indigenous people here in Canada. Because I'm sure, as your listeners know, it's a similar struggles, and they have. So we want to, you know, link the struggles between, you know, First Nations here and in the South, in the global South, to see how we can celebrate the victories of those and also the struggles, and then also, you know, have a celebration and meet the group that is going to Bolivia to film the component of the presidential elections.
Raul, I want to thank you for joining us on the program tonight.
No problem. Can I give you the address of where it is?
Or absolutely.
I think I might have forgotten that part. So we're looking at, it's going to be at 1482 Bathurst Street West, fourth floor, which is the OSSTFQP building. And that's Friday, November the 13th at 7 p.m.
There you have it. That was Raul Burbano. He is a member of the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network. He is on a continental documenting project. He will have, I guess, presenting his documentaries of his experiences in Latin America, in Honduras, and he will be heading down to the elections in Bolivia in December.
Thanks to Rob Iñeto for that audio segment, and just wanted to throw it to a quick music break here. We're just going to, and then we'll be back to wrap it up on the Word of Mouth Wednesday here, and we're just going to throw it to a track dedicated to DJ Rock Rada. It's a track called Life. It's by DJ JS1 and OC. Stay tuned, Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Yeah. Another JS1 and OC thing. Going out to Ajale. Hey, Rock Rada, yeah. We see y'all, man. We know y'all watching. Live on, live on. But for this one right here, this is really not about us. It's about all the trials and tribulations, the tragedies that just been occurring, like, on a constant basis. And we just wanted to voice our opinion about certain things. Let's go. Yup. Just to touch on what's going on as life goes on each and every day. Current events I follow. Leaves me a bit shallow. Shot of whiskey, Jack, I missed thee. Think about Rock Raider, we all gon' miss you, G. Freak accident, asking God, why does life have to be so hard? JS orchestrator, O's the talker. Truth overlap, torture, overtime, a soldier. Chi-town younger won't live to ever learn about them golden years. Instead his mama shed tears, along with his peers. So I shout like tears for fears. I'm pouring out beers to those left. Live your life full steam. Old penmanship comes to light, cause words are powerful. They can do more than what a man. Few dollars with is what it boils down to. All my life been round those who shaped and mold my stroll. It's why O's so cool. Then there's that chosen few who get lost. Feeling what am I to do?
I don't know.
Nothing on my mind but things gonna go.
Maybe in time you understand.
Life.
Cause death is just a moment.
Life.
When the dying ends.
Live on. Flashing back on how my man's
going.
Cause one day we'll all be together.
Maybe in time you understand.
Life.
Live, love, love. Life. Making ill traction.
Life. You don't know, son. You better get the facts in.
Insignificant things like enemies need to light up a peace pipe. Dealing with emotions, hope and a gift and a prayer get a soul for the notion. Sickness I witness through my eyes, leave scars on my spirit. Through my bars you hear it, breathing is a privilege. Considering those with worse circumstance than mine, I'm good. 1 foot in, 1 foot out the hood. What you put in, you get back, understood. Understand there's levels, been through several. From a boy to a child to a man, let alone the thug life, genocide life I call it. Mama wasn't a dope fiend, pop wasn't an alcoholic. So any excuse for my sins I've committed is for me and me only. No one made me do it. To beef I say screw it, waste the energy. Too many lost and what's left? Memories. Heartache and pain, dying in vain. To me's insane, show some restraint. P.O. Box murder, the killer in turn committed suicide, leaving both families hurt, word up. Real talk to those gone, I say God bless to the families dealing with it. Hold on.
Maybe in time you understand.
Life,
forever in my memory. Live on.
Nothing on my mind but things gonna go.
Maybe in time you understand.
Life,
cause death is just a moment when the dying ends.
Flashing back on how my man's
going. Cause one day we'll all be together.
Maybe in time you understand.
Life.
Live, love, love, life. Making ill traction.
You don't know, son, you better get the facts in.
This right here is nothing like a preach to teach song. You know, it's just thoughts from me and Jay. And we just want to say, R.I.P. to Ajale. Gone but never forgotten. Word up.
We lost another brother, another soldier in the game. Another incredible dude, Rock Raider. R.I.P. to Rock Raider. Know what I'm saying? A lot of senseless things going on, man. For real. Live your life. Get your head right. Get it together, man. Peace, 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 peace.
Vote, and when the meetings happen, jam the committee rooms and demand to speak. Make your voice heard. You make your voice heard, you'll get your way in the city.
Word of mouth Wednesday. We're just about ready to wrap it up here, and I just wanted to make sure that we announced a few event listings before we get out of here for today, because there's lots of events going down, and there's an event going around Ryerson going down tomorrow, Friday, October the 30th, or actually, yeah, I should say 2 days from now, Friday, October the 30th. It's the first annual Indigenous Sovereignty Week. Actually, okay, so that's why I got a bit confused, because this has been going down all week. It's Indigenous Sovereignty Week happening around Toronto, and there's an event going around in a lot of communities across the Turtle Island, and it's been set up by a group called Defenders of the Land. And the event this Friday is entitled Indigenous Toronto, Stories of Resistance. You can hear from activists who led some struggles over the last few decades, featuring speakers Sean Brandt of the Tyendinega Mohawk Territory, and also Heather Howard Bobblewash and Lee Marichal. And that's tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Ryerson University Engineering Building, which is 245 Church Street, and it's in room ENG 103. That's the engineering building of Ryerson on Church Street. And then Saturday, October the 31st, we got Halloween night is coming up, so happy Halloween to everyone on Saturday, October the 31st. There's also an event during the daytime. It's the 8th Annual New College Conference on Racism and National Consciousness. It's starting from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and it's at the U of T, University of Toronto, Wetmore Hall, which is 21 Classic Avenue. And the topic this year is land and freedom. And the featured keynote speaker of the event was a guest that Robin Yento interviewed on this show last week, Dr. Maria Vitor Paez. And she's scheduled to deliver the keynote address on the Bolivarian Revolution at 10:30 a.m. at New College University in Toronto, Westmore Hall, 21 Classic Avenue. And then next week on the show, we got the November 4th, 2009. It's been 1 year since the historic election of Barack Obama, so maybe we'll have a special segment on that year that's been. And I just want to thank everyone for listening to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today. Just going to end it a bit early this week. Make sure I'll just make sure I thank all our guests for joining us today. From the top of the show, we had Devin Ostrom from the BeautifulCity.ca Billboard Alliance, and BeautifulCity.ca for more info on that. And then we also had audio clip from KRS-One, who was in Toronto during the summer to launch the Stop the Violence 2009 movement. And then we also played the interview of Robin Yento speaking with Raul Burbano. And thank you all for listening to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll hopefully be back next Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. And thanks for listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. Stay tuned for the Blue Remedy. That'll be the next show. Word out.
CKLN's Board of Directors wishes to thank all of our listeners and volunteers for their patience as we return to full programming after a period.